For members only, Golf Smarter number 180 for May 26, 2009.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Save money, save time. Just play nine. It's still golf.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome. How's your game going? Have you had a chance to play with your new Dixon Earth golf balls yet? Please email me. Come on, tell me your honest opinion of what you think. I'd like to post it so everyone else can hear too. We're still working out some bugs, but as soon as we have our Golfers Mart completely built, members will have the ability to purchase new Dixon Earth golf balls at a significant discount. Today we're going to try something new. We have three guests joining us for a panel discussion on a topic that just baffles me. I love to play 18 holes of golf. There are few things for me that compares to spending the day walking on a new or even my favorite golf course. But it's a new world out there, a new economy, and the demands on our lives are coming from all directions. Frankly, for many of us, golf is a luxury. We can't always take an entire day, but that shouldn't prevent us from playing, right? I bumped into a neighbor while walking the dog the other day and mentioned that I just played nine holes, and he asked, "Slumming it, huh?" That kind of irked me. It fits my pocketbook and my schedule, and damn it, it's still golf. Please join me to welcome Anthony Pioppi, author of To the Nines, who was on Golf Smarter in December back in 2006 to talk about To the Nines. To the Nines and his new book, Haunted Golf, are available on our Golfers Mart at golfsmarter.com. Welcome back, Anthony.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
It's good to have you back. We'll get to your new book soon, but today I want to talk about your old book, To the Nines, but I want to have some other people join us before we do that. And first, we're going to have Tom Coyne. Tom recently been on Golf Smarter podcast talking about his latest book, A Course Called Ireland, but you also recently did an article about nine-hole courses in Ireland that was published in Sports Illustrated. Welcome to the show again.
Thanks for having me. Good to be back.
It's great to be back. And our third guest, this is really going to be an interesting one. Our third guest is Bruce Wilmot, and Bruce is the director of golf for the McGinnis Park Golf Center, which is my country club. It is a nine-hole course very close to my home, and it's where I learned to get addicted to golf and am still addicted to golf there. Bruce, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great. Now, you know, the consensus seems to be these days that among the people I've spoken to, including architects and retailers and course owners and operators, that the golf industry is having a difficult time. There are more golfers leaving the game than there are starting the game. And it seems to be the three factors that get pointed out again and again is that the game is too hard, it takes too long, and it's too expensive. So my question is, why aren't we promoting nine holes of golf?
That's a good, yeah. This is Tom. That's a very good question. And you mentioned the article in Sports Illustrated, and there I sort of made my pitch for, you know, the nine-holer. I think why we don't get more great nine-holers in this country is something in our golfing subconscious sort of associates a nine-holer with a pitch and putt. Something, you know, with sort of astroturf tees and holes that are 60 yards long where you just go and slap the ball around a little bit. You know, it's sort of treated like the lesser cousin of actual golf. And it's not that way everywhere. And that's what I found out when I was, you know, traveling around Ireland and I know that there are great nine-holers in our country as well, but I think it's sort of, there's kind of a stigma to a nine-holer, you know, that sort of feels, you know, not legit, not like you've really played golf if you're going out to a nine-holer. I'm not sure why that is, but it's unfortunate because, like you said, a nine-holer plays more quickly. It's, you know, cheaper to maintain, cheaper rounds, and playing nine holes is just about enough for some people. It would certainly bring more people to the game.
This is Tony, you know, and I agree with everything you're saying. When I wrote the book, when To the Nines came out, people constantly refer to nine-hole golf courses as little nine-hole golf courses. Or I would write about a nine-hole course, and they would say to me, is it a par three? And for somebody who grew up playing nine-hole golf courses, my parents belonged to a nine-hole Donald Ross in Massachusetts. I never looked at it that way. It was a golf course that had nine holes. And I think especially with the building, let's say for the last 30 or 40 years, how many nine-hole golf courses have been built? You know, very few. Jack Nicklaus, I interviewed him for a Links magazine piece. At the time, he had 240 courses in his portfolio. He had never been approached about building a nine-hole golf course. So most people in their lives aren't even aware of a good nine-hole or a nine-hole golf course being built. So they don't consider it a legitimate golf course.
Bruce, do you want to chime in here? Because I'm sure that you have responses to what's being said as an operator of a nine-hole course.
Well, I agree with a lot of that. People do feel, hey, I don't have enough time. It's, you know, there's a definite stigma attached to a nine-hole golf course. But, you know, I think we, and you'll know this yourself, Fred, we really try at McInnes Park to overcome that. I mean, we're a little different from most of the nine-hole golf courses. There's a lot of golf courses, nine-hole golf courses with a restaurant. We're basically a restaurant and a facility that happen to have nine holes of golf. You know, we have a restaurant that does about $3 million in revenue over the course of the year, so we get a lot of people here. But all these points are very valid, and we've tried to overcome the fact that, you know, it takes too long and it's too difficult again. We're four par fours. It's a par 31. You can get around this track in about an hour and 45 minutes. So I will say that, you know, I tell the people that are thinking about playing here, you can have, you know, the seniors, it's $13 green fee weekday for a senior. And the course is in great shape, as you know, Fred. You can have breakfast with your wife, go out, play nine holes of golf for $13 and still be home for lunch. I mean, you know, we do try to overcome all those obstacles, you know, price, et cetera, time. You know, I don't play a whole lot of golf myself these days because it's a full day. You leave at 9 o'clock in the morning for a 10:30 tea time somewhere, by the time you had a bucket of balls, you're not home until 6, 7 o'clock at night. I mean, a lot of people do not have the time to play more than nine holes of golf, and we've got to find a way to try to make all nine-hole golf courses a little more attractive to the general, you know, golfing population.
And what do you actually, I want to ask you, Bruce, you mentioned seniors. Who is, do you feel, is your target market for the nine-hole golf course, the nine-hole experience, let's call it?
Well, I think we're looking for people at both spectrums. We're looking for the person that's played a lot of golf but just doesn't want to play, the guy who's 70, in his 70s, that doesn't really want to belong to an 18-hole club anymore, doesn't have a lot of time, or maybe not even the inclination to play 18 holes of golf. And we've got a lot of beginners because we can get them around that golf course. It's not too difficult.
And what are the expenses that you find in operating a course, the value that makes it more, is it more profitable to run a 9-hole course from your perspective?
No, I think it ended up being a wash. You know, with a $13 green fee.
Yeah, but I've never paid.
You're not going to make a lot of money.
I'm going to hold you to the $13, man, because I don't pay $13 when I come to play there. I'm not a senior yet.
No, but you'll pay $17.
So, oh, absolutely. Do you find that 18-hole courses don't have 9-hole prices?
A lot of them don't. A lot of them do not. I think, and I am glad they don't. I mean, if people are looking for nine holes, they'll come and play here. I mean, that's what we hope.
Right.
But, you know, really, we're not in competition. There's some other, I don't know where the rest of you guys are from in the country, but we've got some really nice golf courses in the Bay Area here. And there is $80, $90 green fee. We're really not in competition with those golf courses. I think someone who's playing here is probably not going to play some of the more difficult courses in the area. They're looking for more of the beginner or the feel-good golf courses that are a little easier to play. You know, that's. I think anyone that's going to be playing the Olympic Club is not going to be playing our golf course.
They can afford to do it.
This is Tony, and I think that's one of the problems is that developers developers haven't looked to build challenging nine-hole golf courses, and clients haven't gone to architects and said, look, I don't have a very good piece of land. Can we just put nine holes on? Because architects and builders are going to say no because they want the 18-hole fees. I'll give you a perfect example of this. I'm involved with a project now with an architect named Brian Silva. We're looking at a site for a nine-hole golf course that was routed in the late 1960s by Al Zacoris with 18 holes, and the 18 holes do not work. But he tried to convince this municipality to build 18 holes there. It's a wonderful track for nine holes. We have alternate tees on seven of the holes to play to different pars, but it was a disastrous 18 holes. But most architects would gladly have gone in and shoehorned in this 18-hole golf course. And I think that's turned out to be a problem. I think there needs, you know, there's not people who are saying, you know, there's nobody who's going to take half their fee or two-thirds of their fee to say, you shouldn't build 18 holes, let's just build nine.
Yeah, this is Bruce. I agree with you completely, Tony. There's people not going to do the nine-hole because, I mean, you know, you're only going to get $13 for an hour. I mean, if you build a really challenging nine holes, then a lot of people are, like you said earlier on, there's a stigma. I don't want to play nine. I want to play 18.
Yeah,
right.
You know, and it's going to take a lot of coverage to get people to change their way of thinking. And I do think that will happen in the not too distant future. Over the next 10, 15 years, you know, the family dynamics are changing, and I think all that's pointing towards nine-hole golf courses taking a little bit more of a forefront in the golf community.
Yeah, this is Tom. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, the way sort of, especially what's happening with the economy now, and like you said, the way family dynamics are changing, it'd be great if this was something USGA got behind or the PGA really got behind instead of, you know, I don't know if we need any more TPC courses at $200 a round. If we really want to grow the game, we need $18 for nine holes. I mean, that's how you're going to grow golf, you know, and the powers that be would be, or even to get some sort of top-notch designer, kind of, you know, a big-name designer. It'd be great if Tom Fazio did a nine-holer. How exciting, you know, that would really sort of catch people's attention and imagination. And maybe that'll happen. I think you're right.
Well, I was involved with Major League Baseball teams for a number of years, and it always seemed to me that they tried very hard to focus on getting kids hooked into baseball. If you can get a kid addicted to being a fan of your team, then they'll be a fan for life. And the same thing, I think, would hold true for golf. That golf is, no question, golf's addicting. And people who get started young in life and maintain it their whole lives, you know, that happens. Then there's people who start playing and then get bored and come back. But what can be done to, I guess what I'm saying is, nine-hole courses is the kind of thing that can be done to get young people more interested in playing, because they don't want to go out there for a whole day, you know, nor can they afford to.
This is Bruce. I had the good fortune a few years back to work for Hank Haney, and Hank has got an incredible nine-hole golf course that Pete Dye designed. They're kind of buddies. Pete Dye designed a nine-hole golf course for Hank at the Hank Haney Golf Ranch back in McKinney, and it's a great little golf. I mean, it's actually a little. It's a great golf course. It's not a little golf course. It's a bona fide course, and maybe some other designers need to, you know, there will come a time when people just will have to say, you know what, I only want to play nine holes. I want, you know, maybe a six or whatever. And only then will we start seeing the Pete Dyes and the other the golf course designers taking more of a lead in promoting nine holes.
I'm sorry, Tom, but this, I just want to mention something about, this is Tony, about you being in Ireland and stuff. The whole concept in the UK of what's a golf course and what isn't is completely different from here. I'm sure all you guys know that.
Right.
I was near Macrahanish, Scotland, for a new course that's being built there called Macrahanish Dunes. And everybody, now you talk about Macrahanish, which is next door, but down the road is a golf course called Dunaverty, which I think is 5,400 yards. with two bunkers on the whole golf course, and everybody that I know that's in the golf business, you know, the Scots that I know there, tell me to go play that golf course. There is no place in America where somebody would say to you, you need to go play this golf course. I mean, other than people like us, 99% of the people in the world, in the world of golf in the United States, wouldn't even think about playing a 5,400-yard golf course.
Right.
Those guys over there consider it a real golf course because it's a golf course.
Right.
That's where
right.
our mentality is all wrong. And, Tom, I'm sure you saw that when you were over there in Ireland.
And
oh,
what
absolutely.
If they – yeah, go ahead, Tom.
Oh, I was just saying the – you know, it's interesting, the sort of – the idea of 18 holes. I mean, it's even kind of an arbitrary number. I mean, St. Andrews made that the rule, and that's the rule. But for, I don't know, 100, 150 years, there were courses – you know, I stumbled upon a course in Ireland, read their history, and, you know, for 80 years they were a six-holer. And another course had 11 holes for a certain amount of time, one had 13, one had seven. Yeah, so the concept of what actually constitutes a golf course is completely different. And I think what I found, what I started to sort of fall in love with in Ireland about these nine-holers is that you could see that they were putting golf holes into places where no one would try or would be able to really put 18 holes. Just a great sort of patch of coastline or a rocky sort of ridge up in the northwest where, you know, there's just enough room for maybe nine sort of shortish holes. But because of that, I mean, places in Otway and Crutch Island and Mulrandy, I played some of the most unique golf holes that I ever have in my entire life. And people are now writing to me asking, you know, they're planning their Irish trips. Where should they play, et cetera? And I always give them three or four nine-holers to think about and just, you know, tell them, have an open mind, go around twice, and you'll absolutely love it. So, but having an open mind is the important part.
Well, you have to play golf. I'm curious, what are the reactions when you recommend people to play nine-hole? Do they give you a look like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, no, they really do. And there's probably on my list of courses that I love the most is this place in Donegal called Crutch Island. And it's such a unique, wonderful, cool place just up in the sort of wild coastline of Donegal in the rocks and right on the water. And it just has some unbelievable golf holes. And I just tell people, if you have a golf imagination, you have to go see some of these holes. There's a par 3 to 6 there that I can't even sort of describe. You play over this ocean cove. And it's just, I think it's the best par 3 I've ever played. But yeah, it's hard to convince people to say, yeah, go spend your day playing a nine-holer. You know, maybe skip Ballybunion and go play a nine-holer. Well, I'd never say skip Ballybunion, but, you know, have an open mind for some of these places. And I love the idea behind Crutch Island was this little town. You know, most of the golf courses in Ireland were either built for the British Army or they were built for traveling British. This was a course where they were very particular and said, we built this. This is a community golf course. We wanted to play golf, so we laid out this, you know, without any bulldozers. We had this great piece of land. We laid out nine holes, and this is where we play. And there was something really cool about that. I mean, you can go out and lay out nine holes, and your community can have a nice golf course to play. It's unfussy. It's uncomplicated. It's inexpensive. So it was a great, great place.
Anthony, in the research for your book, did you come across any golf courses in the United States, nine-hole golf courses, that had par fives as well in the course? Because for me, right now with McGinnis, where Bruce runs, if that had a par 5, to me that's a golf course. I mean, now you've got a complete microcosm of a real round of golf. I still can't shoot par there. I mean, I'm not going to...
Every golf course in my book has a par 5, and most of them are par 35s or 36s. I'm trying to think offhand if I have a par 34, and I think Fenwick, which is one of my favorite in Old Saybrook, Connecticut, is 34 one time and 35 the next, if I remember correctly. I don't have the scorecard in front of me, but getting back to what Tom was saying about recommending people to go to golf courses, I have that all the time in Connecticut. Where should I go play? And I always, you know, there's some great golf courses in Connecticut, public access. I mean, you know, Shinnecocket is a wonderful Donald Ross course in Groton, but I always say Fenwick, and a lot of people don't take me seriously because it's very much that kind of Scottish or Irish or English town course. You know, it's in the midst of these houses, and it wasn't laid out by anybody who knew anything, and the fairways aren't irrigated, but you play the wind and you play the ball on the ground, and I think it's very challenging and very enjoyable and very relaxing. But I have people scoff at me about that, like, you can't be serious.
Unbelievable.
You know, and that course has depending on the tees you play, it has two par fives. It does. I'm just thinking, it has two par fives, and it hangs out into Long Island Sound. So, I mean, I played it with a four club wind. I mean, it's that kind of golf.
Wow.
And so, with no fairway irrigation, you bounce the ball into greens, and you know you try to keep the ball below the wind. And I really have people who say to me, you can't be serious. What do you mean? I've driven past it. It's just a little nine-hole golf course. It's easy. And I say, then go play it and score. Come back and tell me what your score is on that golf course, and then I'll believe you that it's easy. Because I think the best I've ever shot on it is a 79, and that was the wind was down. No.
Now, this is Bruce. I have a question. And the research also, were there any of the courses that used, control distance balls, so balls that would go 75% of the normal. Anybody do anything like that? I mean, you could, people have suggested that to us here. So some of the shorter golf courses, some of the little par threes that are par threes, or the executive courses, they use reduced flight balls. That would be, so now your 300 yard hole suddenly becomes 420 yards. Did anyone do any of that kind of stuff in your research?
For through the nines, no. All the courses that are in the book are, they're probably between 26 and 3,500 yards is for nine holers. So this is, everyone has long right. par fours and long fives and all that. And the shortest one, I'm thinking of, the shortest one was probably this one on in the mountains of Tennessee, and that's about 2,400 yards, but it's, you can get into trouble by hitting it too far, so there's holes you lay up on, and, you want to play the regular distance golf ball.
Right. Yeah, and in Ireland, it was all the nine-holers I played, I could use driver on every one of them. I didn't, certainly not on every hole, but, they were, they had par fours and par fives. Most were par 34-ish, 35. But yeah, it was, you definitely got to get your cuts in with the driver and you want to, I think, with what technology has done, I mean, everyone wants to be able to tee up their Proby One and their fancy new driver and rip away at least a couple times, so that's something that a good nine holer probably should definitely accommodate that.
Well, I know at McGinnis, Bruce, your track, I'll pull out the driver on the first hole, and the ninth hole also kind of calls out for a driver, but it's a narrow fairway, so you've got to play a strategic golf there, and I don't always do it, and I see people pull out the driver on the ninth hole. Are you sure you really want to do it? Can you control it that well? And you've got different elevations on the golf course, and you have some long par threes, and you have par fours as well.
Yeah. Yeah, we got four par fours. But I'm in general, with the things that we're talking about earlier on, there may come a point where some of the smaller, the 1,500-yard courses, you use different balls that only go half the distance, and you can double your yardage, so to speak. So you can make your very short par, you can make your 100-yard par three, you can suddenly make that a 200-yard par three.
We're sitting here at Green. We're agreeing with one another on the need for something like this, but I'll tell you, I love to play nine holes of golf mainly for the time factor. But I also use it as a great way to practice, to work on strategy, to work on my club selection and striking the ball. And so it's also a confidence builder. You get used to your track, you go out there, you can't be beat. So I would think that using these balls that don't do what you're accustomed to doing would hamper me in wanting to play that course, because it wouldn't give me the true feel of like, okay, now I'm ready to go out, play 18 with more confidence type of thing. It's a shame we don't have anybody here that's going to argue against nine holes. We're all agreeing with one another here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it makes sense, because I think we all agree, because it makes sense here. We don't have 7 hours to go out and, driving out of the place, hit a bucket of balls, take a five-hour run, then drive home again. Not a lot of people have that kind of time. As a golf instructor, we always say that your handicap correlates directly to the number of days in a week, days in a month that you work. If you're a 2 handicap golfer, you're only working 2 days a month, because it takes 28 to keep your handicap down. So
That's an excellent point. I've never heard that before, but that's really, I can see that because, you know, the guys that are really good, they're dedicated to being out there. And it's like, you know, there are people who say that work is just an excuse to pay for golf.
Yeah.
Any suggestions you'd like to make to the industry out there at large to say, hey, you know, wake up, design courses that you can play through twice, you know, two sets of tees, or any suggestions you want to make that to let them know that this needs to be considered for today's lifestyle?
Yeah, I think even, this is Tom, even beyond suggestions, I think people are learning their lesson even without the suggestion. It's certainly happening from my perspective, you know, doing the Irish book. What's going on over there on their golf scene? They're struggling. And there was such a big boom, and they built bigger courses and more resort courses, more challenging, longer, tougher, more fantastic. And they're really, really struggling. The Bank of Ireland is going to own more golf courses than it ever thought that it would. But I'll tell you what, some of these little nine-holer community courses are going to be just fine. And I know that some of the same things happening here in the golf community is the big resort courses or the big-ticket private clubs are struggling, especially the ones that have been built maybe in the last 10 years. So I think everyone's kind of learning their lesson, actually, without having having to listen to us.
Great point. Great
this
point.
This is Tony. I agree with everything you're saying. The only problem is the push is going to have to come from the developers because there's no way that the golf architects are going to say, you know what, instead of my $1 million fee, I really think we could build a much better golf course if I charge you $650,000 and we just built nine. It's going to have to be those developers who come to them and say, look, I only want nine holes, but I want a nine-hole golf course with your name on it. That's the only way that's going to happen because it's not going to come from the other end, especially in this downturn where, you know, where there isn't this boom in golf anymore, where people need the $1 million job, you know what I mean, because they've been getting it for so long, or the $750,000 job. It's really going to have to come from that end where developers, and I think it may be more in places like in New England where there's not a lot of good land left for golf. It's, you know, so these people come in, they build these, you know, this golf housing combination, and there may only be good land for nine holes, and just go from there and see what happens. But bring in that named designer who then produces an outstanding nine-hole golf course. That's going to change people's minds. So I think it comes from that end of the spectrum, the owners and the developers.
Well, then are they going to have to create almost, do I want to call it a golf theme park? You know, with McGinnis, he talked about the restaurant is really the anchor to the complex, and it is a complex because he's got the nine-hole course. He's got a two-tiered driving range. There's batting cages and a miniature golf course as well, or putt-putt, whatever you want to call it. So you've got and there's soccer fields out there and things, but there's a lot of different things to draw the community into it. Is that the type of thing that developers are going to have to look at to make a shopping mall of golf to create different attractions?
This is Bruce here. I think, guys, one of the things that we may see happen, this is just speculation, of course, but a lot of the retirement communities may end up going that route. You know, like you're talking about when the land's running out. If there's a retirement community built, or, you know, like an over 60s, they may just stick a golf course in for that. That's one way the developers would, you know, you get. Now, would you get a named guy to do that? I don't know, but, I mean, I think we may start seeing more nine-hole golf courses tied in with the community. That way, you know, buy a house here. There's a couple in the Bay Area. There's one up in Santa Rosa. They've got a couple of golf courses, but they've got a little nine-hole track for, you know, if you're 80 years old, you know, you might have a nine-hole golf course in your backyard if you still want to keep playing golf. But I don't really see that in the next couple of years we're going to change everyone's mind. They're going to say, you know what, 18 holes we're done with. Let's go nine, and let's look for that Pete Dye nine-hole golf course. I think that's a little ways off. But I do think that maybe some of the communities, the home communities and the developers could start to develop nine-hole golf courses along with little retirement communities.
Let's play nine.
I'm in.
Okay.
Give me about an hour.
All right. Yeah, really. And then we only need two more. All right. Thanks. Tom Coyne, and your new book is A Course Called Ireland, and the other one that was made into a movie, A Gentleman's Game, correct?
Yeah.
And yes, those are, yep, those are both available on our Golfers Mart. Anthony Pioppi, author of Haunted Golf and To the Nines. Guys, thank you very much.
Which have been made into a movie. I just want to say that.
Well, you know what?
In development. Still in development.
But the screenplay's ready. Right, exactly. Or I'll just grab my video camera and we'll go out to Bruce's place and we'll play nine and we'll make a movie about it. Okay.
Anytime, gentlemen. Anytime. You're welcome.
Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate your time. It was a fascinating conversation. I don't think we solved anything, but I hope what we're doing is opening the minds of many people to accept the fact that it's okay to play nine holes.
It's
okay. We all agree?
Yes, we do.
Absolutely.
Yes, my vote.
And what do you think? I've posted this as a discussion topic in our Facebook group today and would love to have an ongoing conversation with you about your thoughts and suggestions of playing nine holes of golf. Whether it's a dedicated nine-hole course or just paying to play nine, do you ever take advantage of this opportunity? Again, you can get direct access to our Golf Smarter Facebook group by clicking on Facebook on the bottom of the page at golfsmarter.com. Now, we don't have an ongoing promotion right now, but that doesn't affect you because as a member, you're eligible to win something on each new members-only episode. Today, we thank the folks at Fairways and Greens magazine for supplying a pair of Alias footwear golf shoes, comfort to the tee. Do you have a wide foot and you can't find golf shoes that work for you? Then Alias footwear may be the answer. These are shoes that are built like hiking boots but feel like slippers. They're awesome. Congratulations to Dick Parrish of Boise, Idaho. You've just won a pair of limos, the newest version of Alias Footwear golf shoes, courtesy of Alias Footwear and Fairways and Greens magazine. We close with a quote from David Duvall that I pulled out of the new book by Jimmy Roberts called Breaking the Slump. Jimmy's joining us to discuss the book in a future episode, but this quote really rings true for me, especially coming from someone like David Duvall. I think the most precious commodity in golf that needs to be guarded is your confidence. Coming up next week, we'll get back to some discussion on instruction with Chuck Evans of the Medicus Golf Institute. I welcome your comments, conversations, suggestions, requests, and quotes. We have a Golf Smarter group on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter at Fred Green, or just send me an email by scrolling over the feedback tab to select Hey Fred at golfsmarter.com.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.